You know, it is just amazing how much of the entire world hates the Jews. Don't you find that amazing? And awful, by the way? From the United Nations to virtually the entire Arab Muslim world and much of the Slavic countries, including Russia, anti-Semitism exists virtually everywhere. This, the oldest of the hatreds, is irrational, without justification, and constantly life-threatening to some 15 million Jews who live on this planet. Nations surrounding Israel, including Hamas in Gaza, Hezbollah in Lebanon, and Syria to the east, would love nothing more than the destruction of Israel and the annihilation of the Jews. All of them, everywhere. But at the same time, Israel is beginning to make Arab friends. It's ironic, isn't it? In some ways, the Middle East is changing. Although Israel and the Arab Gulf states long have had clandestine diplomatic ties, recent public gestures of normalization have taken the relationship to a brand new level. There is now, for example, open dialogue between Israel and Oman. The foreign minister of Oman told the Security Forum in Bahrain, quote, Israel is a state present in the region, and we all understand this. The world is also aware of this, and maybe it is time for Israel to be treated the same as other states and to also bear the same obligations. Well, very interesting. A statement on potential equality. Oman's foreign minister then went on to say the following, quite shocking to radical Islam. He said, our priority is to put an end to the conflict and move to a new world. Well, wouldn't that be wonderful? The Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia stated the following, I believe the Palestinians and the Israelis have the right to have their own land. Hey, both of them. Not just Palestinians, but Palestinians and the Israelis. That sounds good to me. And in addition, Israel and Egypt have had diplomatic relations since 1979. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu now visits Abu Dhabi, the very same Netanyahu in his address to the General Assembly of the United Nations stated that the Arab world and Israel are closer together than ever before in an intimacy and friendship that I have not seen in my lifetime and would have been unimaginable a few years ago. Fascinating concept, is it not? This new and growing alliance between Israel and the Sunni Arab world is driven in part by economics. The entrepreneurship of Israel benefits all nations in the region. But for both Israel and the Sunni Arab world, an even greater concern is the common threat from Iran. Iran, backed by Russia, is a serious threat not only to the Middle East, but to the world at large. Hey, Iran is a threat to America. Recently, Hamas shot nearly 500 projectiles, missiles, into Israel in under 24 hours. Can you believe that? One blew up a bus, and 60 Israelis were wounded, several critically, and one civilian was killed along with the destruction of numerous homes. Israel has never experienced any rocket onslaught from Gaza remotely as intense as what Hamas and Islamic Jihad shot off in that 24-hour period. In earlier times, Israel would have retaliated, and aggressively so, and with greater force than the Hamas attacks. But, strangely, Israel opted for a ceasefire, and without aggressive retaliation. I wonder why. Critics of that decision indicated that such non-action clearly showed to Hamas and Islamic Jihad that there may be a weakness in Israeli military decisions and perhaps even in the Israeli Defense Force, the IDF itself. If, the critics argue, the IDF response to Hamas and Gaza is now tepid, how will Israel respond to attacks from Hezbollah in Lebanon when they occur? And Hezbollah is far more powerful and far more dangerous than Hamas. The Jerusalem Connection, one very good organization, staffed by evangelicals, says that Israel's acceptance of a ceasefire after Hamas' unprecedented missile attack is yet another example of, quote, Israel postponing the inevitable. Isn't that an interesting concept? Israel postponing the inevitable. This organization says that sooner or later, Israel is going to have to defeat their enemies and stop this ceasefire nonsense. Nonsense. Do you agree? Should Israel retaliate? Must Israel destroy its enemies, particularly Hamas and Hezbollah? Should they? But nonetheless, anti-Semitism continues to grow. Jew hatred and Israel hatred as well is alive and well. That is surely true in America. Many college campuses encourage anti-Semitism, cloaking Jew hatred in appeals for the rights and return of the Palestinians to their land. There are now two Muslim congresswomen, each of whom is openly anti-Israel. And of course there is George Soros, oy vey, perhaps the most evil man on the face of the earth. Himself Jewish. Did you know that? Soros is Jewish. And he is openly anti-Israel and has even had open talks with the nation of Iran itself regarding military action against Israel. And, of course, in our country, there is Linda Sarsour, who is riddled with anti-Semitism and openly anti-Jew and Israel, seemingly with open invitations to speak and participate everywhere regarding her biased and her hateful anti-Semitic views. And there is also the ever-present Al Sharpton, the supposed Reverend Al Sharpton, who refers to the Jews as interlopers and in a disparaging way as diamond merchants, who most hypocritically speaks openly about how to deal with anti-Semitism. So, on the one hand, there is some Middle East movement toward the normalization of relations between Arab countries and Israel, even with the possibility of the end of the so-called conflict. But the continuation of anti-Semitism and the encouragement of this old conflict driven by the oldest hatred in so many other places. What is really shocking to so many is the equivocal positions taken by the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL, you know about that, and its president, Jonathan Greenblatt. Greenblatt failed to condemn the rocket attacks by Hamas on Israel and only responded in a most tepid way. Greenblatt, his accusers say, views anti-Semitism, which comes from the progressive left, merely as, get this, isolated anomalies. The ADL, once aggressive in its defense of Israel and the Jews, now seems more middle of the road, bent on all things politically correct, seemingly a fundamental change in philosophy and policy. Why? Why? There seems to be little condemnation of the BDS movement. You know what that is, don't you? The boycott, sanction, and divestiture of all things Jewish and Israeli. Get rid of them. And that movement goes on and even gains momentum. Fortunately for Israel, President Donald Trump seems very much pro-Israeli in his policies and decision-making, even though he endorses a two-state solution, one for Israelis and one for Palestinians, but only with the full and absolute protection, safety, and guarantee for the future for Israel from the Arab world. You think that will ever happen? And again, college campuses seem hopelessly anti-Semitic, there being no shortage of progressive advocates for the Palestinians. And there was one Professor Mark Lamont Hill from Temple University, himself anti-Israel and the Jews, advocated for the Palestinians as follows. Listen to what this professor said. If we are to operate in true solidarity with the Palestinian people, we must allow the Palestinian people the same range of opportunity and recognize the right of an occupied people to defend itself. So, in other words, says Professor Hill, send in all the missiles you wish. Destroy any Israelis you wish because you are an occupied people. And then Hill goes on to say the following. Give us, he means the Palestinians, he's part of them, the us, give us what justice requires, and that is, now get this very carefully, and that is a free Palestine from the river to the sea. And of course he means by that the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. In short, all of the land of the current Israel. And if that's the case, then there would be no more Israel of any kind. Destroy them. Bury them. as the old Arab saying goes, every Jew in the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. Wow. How do you make peace with people like that? So, my fellow Americans, the age-old conflict goes on. Some progress, some normalization, but will it last? Some reluctant respect for the rights of Israelis here and there, but even more hatred and verbal attacks against Israel and the Jews seemingly ever-growing the world over. Don't you feel it? Don't you hear it? Perhaps the greatest threat to Israel may come from Russia and Iran. Russia and Iran are simpatico. They will be working together, and both nations hate Israel and the Jews. Sooner or later in these end days, the Middle East will explode in warfare, and that warfare perhaps may be all out, perhaps the Armageddon which the Bible predicts. But I wonder, my fellow Americans, and especially my fellow Christians, what you think. What you think about Israel and the Jews? What do you believe about them as the chosen people and Israel as the promised land? What do you believe? I wonder if you take seriously, really seriously, as I do, the admonition of the great God Jehovah to bless the Jews. Do you bless the Jews in order to avoid his curse? I wonder if you stand in support of the Jews and against anti-Semitism. Do you? The Jews are, we are clearly told, the chosen people. They are special to the God of the universe, and from them comes the carpenter of Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth, whom we believe to be the Savior of the world. Should we not therefore be truly loving and respectful to the Jews? And especially at this Christmas season, when this babe of Bethlehem, this Jewish child, was born, should we not be respectful to the Jews? Anti-Semitism existed throughout all of recorded history, and in the form of the Roman Empire. It was virulent when the Christ of glory was born. That same old hatred exists today, but ironically, it is the love and saving grace of a man himself Jewish who is perhaps the only one who can end anti-Semitism once and for all. And so, as we Christians celebrate the birth of this Jewish baby, our Lord Jesus Christ, in love and adoration for him and of him, we should make certain that we extend that very same love to all mankind, but especially to the Jews, especially to the Jews. The babe of Bethlehem, the carpenter from Nazareth, and the Son of the living God would have it no other way.